We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. It is 9:33, and second Thursday of the month means we talk with Fort Riley. It also means we talk with the Manhattan Housing Authority, and we've got three guests in studio with us here today. I'll go around and introduce them. We have the Executive Director, Aaron Estabrook. Welcome back in.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah, good to see you once again. Patrick O'Neill is also here. He's the Assistant Executive Director. Welcome.
Thank you.
And we also have Alyssa Bully, and am I saying that right?
Yes.
Okay. Alyssa Bully, and she's the Assistant Housing Manager with Manhattan Housing Authority. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And your first trip in studio, so welcome to the studios.
Yes.
We start off here. It's the month of December, and you know, so it's that time of year where we're kind of wrapping things up here. And you've been here, what, about almost a year now? Is that right?
Well, in March.
March, okay.
So March will be a year. Yeah, we're getting closer. It feels like it's been a few decades.
Yeah.
it's a long time ago, it seems like, March, when we first started getting involved and doing some things at the Housing Authority. And one of those that's we'd like to talk about a couple things today. Carlson Plaza has some cool things happening, and we want to start that discussion with the community and just kind of give the community an idea of what is possible in the future there. And then we're going to run through some of the holiday engagement activities that we've been organizing, and some of those have passed, like the Halloween, but we have some interesting activities going on, arts and writing contest that I think Alyssa will talk about. And then if any callers or anybody has any questions, we'd be happy to answer those.
All right. I might just real quick introduce our listeners to Patrick and Alyssa. Patrick, how long have you been with the Housing Authority?
I have been there a total of about 17 years.
Okay.
And let me, I failed to mention, Patrick is new in this role as the Assistant Executive Director. He was promoted within the last month, so we're really excited given the fact that Patrick has that 16 years of experience, and now he's stepping into the role to oversee the programs and help me with run the organization.
Well, congrats. That's great.
Thank you.
Obviously, this is a passion of yours.
Yes, very much so.
All right. Alyssa, how long have you been with the MHA?
I started with the Housing Authority in August of 2020, so like a year and some change.
Okay. You like it so far?
I do love it, yeah.
All right. Well, this is great work that you guys do helping those in need here in our community, and we'll talk about each of these topics here. And Carlson Plaza, those that aren't familiar, that's at 425 Pierre Street. It's a mid-rise four-story building, or is it five stories?
Five stories, yeah, sorry.
Okay, and so that is a building that's kind of been here, looks like, since the early 70s. Tell us more about the need here for MHA for this building.
Yeah, so people might kind of, in your mind, you might have seen a building, it's kind of catty corner from the Boys and Girls Club, or it's tucked in right behind where the Civic Plus building is. It's provided a community need, meta community need, initially for elderly disabled, and then now it has 47 units of public housing that isn't just for elderly and disabled. And so for, what are we at, like almost 50 years, that building has served people in our community. Unfortunately, over that course of time, the building has deteriorated a little bit, a lot of it. The preventive maintenance was underfunded from the federal level across the board for public housing. You probably are aware of the legislation that Build Back Better and the infrastructure bill that is in part addressing a $80 billion backlog in public housing infrastructure. And that building, Carlson, is an example of what happens when over 50 years the federal government doesn't fund the necessary levels to do preventive maintenance and keep things updated. So we're at a stage where the building was inspected this summer after some of the COVID restrictions were relaxed. we had inspections in every unit in there, and we identified some mold issues and some asbestos issues. And in those units, we had the people relocate to other public housing, and we assisted them with all of that. Patrick and Alyssa helped get people moved around into, so everybody's in a safe location. And the units that are still safe and habitable and not going to hurt anybody at Carlson are still being used, and that's about half of those. We are working towards a plan. So this is the exciting part. Like, what can we do? One, we explored how to go about remediating or fixing those issues, and it just was going to be too cost. It was going to exceed the value of the building, regardless of what mechanism. The degree of deterioration is too much. So we're working with National Church Residences, who actually they are owners of Colorado Plaza, which is adjacent to that building. And then they have some other properties in town like Garden Grove 1 and 2. And we want to collaborate with them to help build a rebuild. Well, it'll be new construction over after the if we demolish Carlson Plaza and rebuild there with their partnership, be about 150 unit project. And that would get affordable housing or public housing or project-based Section 8 housing and elderly housing kind of all co-located into what we're envisioning as a campus for subsidized housing right there downtown, new, innovative, green energy efficient, using all the tools in the bag to really create something pretty awesome down there. It's going to take several years to get that completed, but having that as an opportunity now is just really exciting to be able to, that location, think about that location, it's walkable. If there's new things, like we talk about Blue Earth Plaza, the Festival of Lights, potentially an Art and Light Museum, those things all being within distance of your public housing or your senior elderly housing is just a remarkable opportunity that we don't want to miss, and we're working in concert with all the partners to try to get that done.
Wow, that is an exciting endeavor there, and tucked away in a great location, as you mentioned. Something like this, so how much would that expand the housing if you did have a project that went up to 150 units?
Right, so currently, like, there's 47 units at Carlson Plaza. So if we're able to kind of consolidate the subsidies that National Church Residence has and working with them, and that comes under our umbrella, we would have an additional, at least an additional 100 subsidized units. So it's not necessarily new units to Manhattan, but it's new units to the Manhattan Housing Authority, and that would open some avenues for us to, plus they would be new units in construction. So that's having the modernized assets that ADA compatible, that are more friendly, and all of the things that we just don't have in a building that's 50 years old would be a big change, I think, for our residents and the community overall.
All right. Patrick, you had a chance to work in the building here this past year. Yes. Tell us more of kind of what you saw from the inside.
Well, as Aaron said, there's just it's an old building, not just the concerns in specific units, but the overall boiler system, heating and air system, you know, all of that is aging and is going to need to be either replaced or at great expense, especially with inflation at what it is now. So those things, I think, will be very beneficial to residents when that's redeveloped. At this time, the units do not have specific thermostats like in the apartments, so it's a little bit hard to get, you know, the temperature that someone wants. So that will be a big change from what we have now. Just the overall like amenities that a new development would have would greatly benefit our residents.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and if you can do it energy efficient, that's another plus there.
Yeah,
too,
so. We have when we converted and rehabbed the apartment towers, we've already seen $750,000 in savings in energy that we can apply towards a new construction or new build to make the water work more efficiently and the heating and cooling. This is one of those things that a lot of people of maybe my generation and younger didn't experience living in buildings or homes that were either all cold or all hot. Like we have that building, when you turn on the boiler, there is no AC again until you turn it off and turn on the chiller. So given the temperature, like today, it's 70 degrees on, out, or if it's warm into the winter, people lose their AC. And so those type of things are just a little bit they were designed a long time ago and they need to be updated, and now it's extremely costly to update them. Also, the design of the building doesn't allow moisture really to exfil, so there isn't a good moisture flow. If, let's just say, you're taking a shower or whatever you might do with the humidity in the building, that gets trapped. It doesn't really, the building wasn't designed in a way to get that air flow out. So that moisture turns into mold, right? Like, and so even if we did repair and remediate the things, the actual design and structure is just going to miss the mark, and we'll end up having to do mold remediation in 5 more years. And it's just too costly at this point to go down that road.
Yeah. Yeah. The benefits far outweigh the alternative here of just leaving it as is.
Right. Right.
All right. Well, interesting. That'd be fun to watch that concept come to fruition here over the next couple of years, hopefully. And we'll take a break now. We'll come back more with the Manhattan Housing Authority in a moment. We'll get into some other topics. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.